This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Hey guys, working class bow hunter, just Doug and I here on this one. How are you, Doug?
I'm not too bad. How about you?
I'm doing great. And I'm excited to learn. We got Brian Anderson, the Tick Terminator, is on the podcast, man. What's going on?
Hey, thanks for having me. I always love to talk about ticks, man. Crazy, crazy thing that I do. It's nuts. You gotta be half crazy, a little nuts, have a weird, strange fascination with ticks to do what I do, you know, but
yeah,
here I am.
That's going to go to my first question, because as soon as people start talking about ticks, I start feeling like crawly, you know, and I imagine you get over it when you talk about them as much as you do.
Yeah.
Why that's ticks? What's the fascination? What's the deal?
I don't know. When I was a little kid, I live in Michigan. Okay. Michigan is a big state. I was born in Upper Michigan, and then we moved way down state. And then we would go up to visit my grandparents, you know, and they lived in a beautiful spot, 175 acres in the woods, you know. And we had visit them, and they had ticks there. And to a little boy, it was just kind of fascinating, because it was different than a mosquito, but yet they didn't really bother you. And they would crawl around on you, and mom would, you know, do a tick check at night and take them off. And you never had a problem with them. It was just kind of a little interesting animal that, or, well, not animal, but anyways, a thing that sucked your blood. But you didn't even know it was on you half the time. Mm-hmm. So mosquitoes, you watch them land, you can feel them bite, and then you slap them and you can see the blood.
Yeah.
Ticks are different. You know, they're kind of stealthy and secretive, and you don't know you have them. And
that's the worst part.
Fascinated. What's that?
That's the worst part.
Yeah.
I know that's the worst part. As a little kid, we never had any problem. You know, I'm going to be 64 this fall. You know, I feel like I'm 24 half the time, you know. But it's because I get so excited about this stuff. It was probably about 10 years ago when I kind of had a renewed interest in it. You know, I've always, you know, I live in Upper Peninsula, Michigan, a very rural area. I'm sure you guys are familiar with it.
Yeah.
Great hunting up here and fishing and stuff like that. And my wife just despises ticks, you know, like any normal human being, of course, you know, especially her.
Yeah.
And I was trying to figure out ways I could, you know, what do I do when I bring them in the house, for example, you know, on my clothes? What's the best way to get rid of them? Mm-hmm. And I was doing all kinds of experiments in the basement with ticks, you know, bringing them in the house even, you know, and using it on a white carpet. I had the grandkids down there. They called it a wood ticking, you know, with Papa.
Uh-huh.
So we would play with them and try to, you know, see what they would do and try to get them to respond to different cleaning products or anything. I was just trying to get them, and I was having a hard time getting them to move around much.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I got one of my good buddies was having a really tough time with Lyme disease. and I'm sure you guys are familiar with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is just awful. It's just debilitating. It's terrible.
Yeah.
So
has Lyme, how long has Lyme disease been related to ticks for? Is that the only thing Lyme disease is from, or can you get it from something else?
Pretty much ticks. I'm never going to say for sure that's the only way, but the vast majority, 99.9% of places you're going to get ticks is from Lyme disease is from a tick.
Yeah.
But that's where I started to have this interest in doing my experiments. And I finally bump into a really cool repellent called permethrin, which I gave you one of those samples. I don't know if you used it yet, but
yeah,
kind of got things going. And I started looking around about Lyme disease, and there's hardly anything out there about prevention. All kinds of wonderful things about once somebody gets Lyme disease and how to take care of it, but hardly anything about prevention.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, gosh, you know, I have a weird interest here, so maybe I should start looking into this stuff and finding out about the permethrin, finding out about other things, you know, of how you can keep them away from you and keep them off you and what you do with them. So that's kind of the early beginnings. I remember I got a video of my grandsons and I walking through the woods like 10 years ago. And we found a tick. We had a little 22 with us, okay, you know, because they were small.
Yeah.
So we found one on a stump. And we got a picture of a video of us shooting a tick with a 22 on a stump.
Good. So.
And then you could see where the little, you know, lead goes in there, and you can't even find a tick anymore, of course. But it was right, fun, right. You know, when you're 6 years old and 10, you know.
Yeah. Well, ticks to me, I guess I've known a couple of guys that had Lyme disease. I guess in the hunting industry, the most recent, or and I don't know if it's the most recent, but the most well-known case that I've is when we had Kip Campbell from Red Arrow. He was on the podcast and he had a really hard time with Lyme disease. And he kind of opened up to us about some of the struggles he had had and just how brutal it is. But I've heard from a guy that I knew that had it. He said it's like having the flu every day for 5 years.
Yeah. Achy joints, flu-like symptoms. It can be just miserable. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's if you're lucky. I mean, because sometimes Lyme can give you brain fog. You know, your vision can go blurry. Neurological problems like that. I'm not a Lyme expert, but, you know, I know a fair amount about it because of what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole trick, the whole key here is early detection and early treatment. Those people there, they were the unfortunate ones that probably didn't realize what they had, and months went on, and then it's really hard to get rid of it. If you got bit by a tick, let's say today,
mm-hmm.
and you had a symptoms tomorrow, achy joints, flu-like symptoms, just feeling like crap, all right? And let's say
you're all the time. Maybe I do have Lyme disease. What are
you talking about?
And then let's say you had a bad reaction to a bite. Okay. Anytime you have a really bad reaction to a bite, you should have that looked at by a doctor. And sometimes it may be we'll call it a tick-borne disease. Lyme mm-hmm. disease is one of them. I mean, you can have babesiosis, ehrlichiosis, tularemia, Rocky Mountain spotted fever. You know. Alpha-gal syndrome, which is allergic to red meat, never be able to eat venison again.
I wanted to bring that one up too. That was one on my notes here that I'm like, we got to talk about that.
So early detection, early treatment is absolutely the biggest thing that you have to do. If you get it in the, nip it in the bud, so to speak, in the beginning, you almost always are not going to have a problem.
Okay.
So you go to the doctor and normally they're going to put you on a real general antibiotic, which is called doxycycline. Which is kind of the go-to, the standard one for most problems that people have with ticks. And you're on that for maybe 10 days or, you know, 2 weeks, something like that.
Yeah, like a normal, like a kind of like a Z-Pak type thing.
Yeah, and that almost always takes care of it. But if you just think, oh, I'm just going to tough it out and it will months go on and then you're screwed. Then it's really hard to get rid of. Hard to get rid of.
So what would be a red flag for the bite? Like when... Because I've had some buddies that have a tick bite and it's like red around. I'm like, ah, man, that's scary. But I knock on wood. Personally, I've never had a tick bite where I'm like, ooh, I need to
me neither.
Take extra precaution with this one. But like, what if someone doesn't know what to be like. At what point do I need to really be like, ah, shit, we better look into this a little bit, or I need to do something.
Some kind of, I mean, people are different. Okay. You may have no reaction to, let's say, a mosquito bite. The guy next to you may react really bad to a mosquito bite. Just people are different. The same, actually, right. Same mosquito.
Yeah.
So ticks are like that too. So people are going to react differently to them. I tell people, if you have a really bad reaction, somehow, I mean, I've had people, their elbow swells up, their knee swells up, you know, some kind of bad reaction like that. Mm-hmm. Or if it's called a bullseye rash, where it looks like a bullseye, mm-hmm. you know, it has circles around it. That is a telltale sign that is more than likely for sure going to be Lyme disease.
Wow.
So that is for sure the time to go see the doctor.
What do you know? Oh, go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah, I want to make sure I say this. A doctor, a lot of times a doctor will look at the symptoms and give you the antibiotic, not based on a test result. It's too early in the thing to have in the whole issue to have a positive test result. So they will base it on, man, you got a bullseye rash. It's a really bad infected. Your achy joints, flu-like symptoms. You have all the symptoms of a bad tick-borne disease, possibly Lyme disease. We're going to give you antibiotics right now to stop it before we have to wait 6 months and then get a positive result. Then it's too late.
Yeah.
It's already in your system.
Okay. That makes sense. So do you know, like, is there a statistic on like what percent, because I imagine it's like the tick that carries Lyme automatically. Is there something that happens in the process of the tick biting us? That Lyme, I guess I don't really know how that works. I don't even know if that makes sense, but is that, you get what I'm asking? Kind of.
I think so. So you're thinking if you get bit by a tick, they say sometimes it takes 24 hours or longer before that tick has to be on you in order for you to possibly get Lyme disease. What I'm saying there, if you get bit, that's why daily tick checks are so important for you hunters, you know, whether you're out hunting or if you're out scouting, or whatever you're doing outdoors, when you come back at night, you should do a good tick check. I'm sorry.
We got you.
So what you do is you check every place. I say men, women, I said check every place. And whatever you're thinking, yeah, even there too.
Yeah.
If there's skin there, they can be there. So, go in the bathroom, got a big long mirror, drop your drawers, check every day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like that Brad Paisley song.
You never know.
Yeah, that's scary. So is there like a certain percentage of like ticks that might carry Lyme? Is there like an estimate out there that they're like, oh, we think 40% of them probably carry Lyme? Or,
well, you can't really, it's actually in different areas. I mean, like New England area, for example, is the worst in the country for Lyme disease. Okay. Pockets there, they may have it's a black-legged tick. We nicknamed the deer tick. You have Eastern black-legged tick on the East Coast, Western black-legged tick on the West Coast. Those are the ones that get the most notoriety for carrying Lyme disease, all right? And out East is really bad. I mean, actually...
I feel so creepy crawly right now, just to let you know.
I know. I get that all the time. I'm not offended at all. It's just part of it, you know?
I'm like, I'm itching... But I'm not trying to seem like I'm itching, but I am, because I keep thinking about ticks crawling on me.
Yeah, I know. You probably have a tick check even after we're done here, you know?
I know.
Yeah.
I'm going to have Doug look at me in the bathroom. It's going to get weird.
No.
We'll check each other.
Have your wife do that.
Right. I guess I could just wait. Sorry, Doug.
You want me to save you or not?
But before we talk about, like, you know, the black-legged tick, I always thought deer ticks, I don't know, but I think that this is a misconception in the hunter woods that are overly informed. I thought only deer ticks could carry it. And when I look for deer ticks, I'm looking for the one with the red on them, the red marking on their back. Is that right?
They are the ones that carry Lyme disease the most.
The most.
By far.
Okay.
The other one that I've heard recently is called a Lone Star tick.
Okay.
That's a tick with a white dot on its back. Now, that's the female. The females are one that's going to go on us. The males don't bother with humans very much. So think of a white dot on its back, the Lone Star tick. I've heard that on occasion they may have Lyme, but most of everything you read is the deer tick.
Okay.
So that's by far, you know, the vast majority is the deer tick.
Okay, what versus like a wood tick? Yeah, you always hear that term around here, a wood, right? Yeah. Is that what you've always heard, Doug, growing up? Mm-hmm. Well, that's a wood tick. What's the difference? Can a wood tick can't carry Lyme?
No, I mean, a wood tick is just a nickname for the American dog tick.
Okay, which is what?
Yeah, the American dog tick, and they call it, the nickname is the wood tick. It's kind of like the black-legged tick is called the deer tick. That's the nickname for it. So that's, I mean, I'm not going to get into scientific names. It's too fancy.
Yeah.
And that's way beyond me. I'm a regular guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We don't need to know that anyway, because we'll never use the scientific terms.
Yeah. Who, screw the scientific name. That's for the, you know, the PhDs and professors. I'm not that. I'm just a regular guy that has this crazy fascination, spent hundreds of hours and years of research on it.
Yeah.
So I can talk to regular people. I'm regular just like you, you know?
Yeah. So wood tick, dog tick, same tick, different names.
Yep.
They're not known to carry Lyme disease as far as we know.
No.
And those are smaller? Like
early, what's that?
Those are a little smaller than the deer tick?
No. The deer tick are the smaller ones of those. Oh. Yeah. But it depends on, well, let me tell you the life cycle of a tick too. It's kind of interesting. If you didn't, probably don't know this, but
I don't know.
A female, because this could answer some questions that you have too. A female tick gives birth anywhere between 1,000 to 5,000 tick eggs at a time.
Holy shit.
Which is disgusting, all right? She lays lays them on the forest floor. It takes her a couple days to do that. After a couple weeks, and it's about now in June when she's done that several weeks ago, and they're in the egg for about 2 weeks, and they hatch out the egg, and like any newborn baby, what are they looking for? Something to eat.
Yeah.
So the closest thing to them on the ground that they can get onto for their first host is typically a white-footed mouse, okay? They get on the white-footed mouse, start sucking the blood out of it. Now the germs, or the pathogens, they call them, the fancy name for germs, that comes out of the mouse that goes into the tick is what gives them a disease. They're not born with it, okay?
Interesting.
So the white-footed mouse is kind of the culprit here. And I got a lot of stories on white-footed mice, you know, stuff too. So anyways, after about 3 days, they drop off the white-footed mouse, and they do whatever ticks do, which ain't a whole lot. I mean,
yeah,
they're just fat and sassy. They sit around and just bask in that full belly, you know, that they just had there.
Yeah.
And they molt into their next series that fall, that winter. They come out the next spring. They gain two more legs, because now they have 8 legs. That puts them part of the arachnid family. They're part of the spider family. So the next spring they come out. The next spring they come out as a nymph-sized tick the size of a poppy seed, okay?
Uh-huh.
It could be on your shoelace, and you wouldn't even hardly see it. That's why it's so important to treat your shoes and shoelaces with permethrin and stuff, because they could be on that, and you wouldn't even see them. And that's why they're so responsible for transmitting a lot of diseases, because they're so, you can't hardly see them, okay?
Oh, dude, I feel so itchy, Brian. I'm having a hard time.
Yeah, it feels really gross knowing that, like,
from a mouse to you.
Yeah, from a mouse to me. Like, yeah. I thought that they just had it or not, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't know they're sucking on something else before me.
A lot of good information, though.
They may get on us. They may get on a little animal, and they suck the blood for a couple days. Then they get off. Then they do whatever ticks do. Again, it ain't a whole lot. They just bask in that full belly again for that fall, that winter, come out the next spring as a full-blown adult. All right? Now, when they got Lyme disease, even at the tiny little tick, they're just as lethal as a full-grown adult. They don't have to be big in order to be a problem. So as the adult, they look for a little bigger animal, maybe a coyote, bear, a deer. A lot of times they'll end up on a deer, and then the male and the female will both be on the deer at the same time, and after they feed, then they'll mate, and then they rise. I've seen videos of it too. I mean, it's amazing. Anyways, the next spring they get off, the male gets off and dies, the female gets off, and she gives birth to 1,000 to 5,000. That's enough to kill anybody, and she dies then too. So it's about a 3-year life cycle is typically how that works.
Longer than I thought it would be, though, to be honest, considering,
they have to eat one time a year, and that's it. Think of the groceries you could save if you only ate one time a year. That's all they do.
Eat one time a year, as in, like, you know, when you...
Yeah, then you got to support 5,000 kids.
When you have a tick on you, right? Yeah, or if you're the Doug tick, you got to pay child support for 5,000 kids. But so when they're on you, when you catch a tick on you, like if it's kind of bit you, is it eating on you, or is when you see them swollen up on like a deer on its neck and it's full of blood, is it they're eating in both stages, just one's full? Or I don't know the process. I don't even know how to ask some of these questions because.
No, I mean, yeah, if they're stuck on you, they're sucking your blood.
Okay.
If they're stuck on you, if they're still walking, they didn't find a spot yet. They're looking for a spot.
Okay. And what spot is ideal for a tick on your body? I always hear waistbands and shit like that.
Yeah, that's right. Waistbands behind the knees, around the ears, along the hairline. Place like I've had them on my feet before. But where you're going to find them is in the low-lying grass, okay? I mean, you know, regular grass, okay? Mm-hmm. And low-lying brush. Remember, they don't...
You're feeling itchy too, aren't you, Doug?
You know,
Doug's itching.
I had to check myself.
Yeah. Sorry, Brad.
They don't fall out of trees. They don't jump. They don't fly. They sit in a blade of grass, and they call it questing. Or they're just waiting. They're opportunists. They're very rude, egotistical hitchhikers. They don't even ask. They just latch on as they walk by, you know?
Yeah.
And then they try to suck your blood. So, I mean, you know, nasty little varmints.
So I keep cutting you off because I'm like eager to ask questions, but
sure, go ahead. Now.
When you see a tick on a deer, when you shoot a deer and it's like, it looks like a dang grape, it's full of blood. Yeah. It's full, right? But like, how long will that tick stay on that deer like that?
Well, they may stay on that for the winter, depending on what time you saw them.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah. It's not uncommon for them to stay on for the winter.
You just feed when they want?
Yeah. Now, wow. You have different types of ticks, too. This is a hunting show. I can say this here, too. I want to show you about removal here. Dude, don't let me forget that because I got my little pet ticks here, you know, so we go about removal.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We need to know that. Like, that's part of the process here.
Absolutely. But anyways, big game, let's say up in northern New England, let's say Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, mm-hmm. they have a tick up there called a winter tick. Now, the ticks I'm talking to you just about now are the normal ones. You guys from the Midwest, right?
Yeah. Illinois, Iowa.
Yeah. Okay. Midwest. So I'm talking about the kind of ticks we have up until now. I'm going to talk about a different type of tick. It's called a winter tick that feeds on bigger game like moose, maybe elk, caribou, things like that. If they have, I don't know if they have much caribou up there, but I probably have some elk, but definitely moose up there. You know, that's big moose country.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Anyways, this winter tick is just devastating the moose population up there right now. It's really becoming a problem because this tick gets on high vegetation where moose, you know, big mooses, of course.
Yeah. Yep.
And they're going to get on the moose and they spend their whole life, that one tick, on the same moose. Okay. They don't get off it like the normal ticks I was just talking about.
Right. Right.
And they get on there by the hundreds and it drives the moose crazy. They actually have a nickname for the moose that are having a hard time. They call them ghost moose because the moose have hundreds and thousands of ticks on them sometimes. And they don't groom themselves like a cat does, okay?
Yeah.
Or some animals like that. Or a dog does not groom themselves. We need to groom the dog. But moose cannot groom themselves, so they can't get rid of the ticks. So they rub themselves up against trees, vegetation, anything like that, trying to get these ticks off. And so what happens is they're rubbing off their outer fur, and they're left with the white fur underneath that makes them look ghostly. They call it, you could look at
it. Oh, okay.
Ghostly. How miserable would that be?
And they're losing a huge population of the calves up there too. It's really becoming a problem. I heard it in other spots too, but that's probably the worst area up there.
So what do you do for something like this? Like even in the Midwest, the ticks we have in New England and some of the northern states out east, it's like it controlled burns. Like what's the main way to like dampen this parasite, I guess, right? It's a parasite, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the problem is there's not a whole lot you can do. That's the problem.
Has there been any studies that show like whether or not control burn makes a difference or not?
What are you going to do, burn the whole woods?
Well, a lot of guys with like CRP fields and stuff like that.
They can try that on a limited limited scale, of course.
Right.
But
right.
still, I mean, as an example, some other people are they're trying to go after the white-footed mouse here too.
Smart. Okay? Yeah.
Here's a couple things. I got a picture here of
we need more snakes.
Yeah. This here is kind of an experiment that's being done in Pennsylvania right now, where they're trying to this is actually listeners can't hear, but it's a little trap there where ticks, they're trying to get the ticks to come in there and eat this food they have in there for them and give them a virus, so that when the ticks start feeding on the mice, the ticks will die or they won't go to their next stage of life.
Mm-hmm.
So they're hurting the ticks. That's one. Mm-hmm. That's one theory. They're experimenting that right now. Out in Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket, so some of those islands out there, yeah, off the coast of Massachusetts, where the rich and the famous, you know, go to play, are horrible for Lyme disease out there. Really bad. A couple of years ago, this guy was he had a theory and a proposal that he's proposing to one of the islands there that he wanted to genetically alter a bunch of mice so that he wanted to let loose 100,000 genetically modified mice on an island to interbreed with the existing mice to offset their pathogens, their germs, so they wouldn't give the bad stuff to the ticks, and so you wouldn't have Lyme disease. But they didn't sell them on that quite yet. But I mean, think about it, living on an island. Yeah, we're gonna let loose 100,000 white-footed mice. You know,
right?
That's people. So people are thinking along those terms. You know, what can we do? Can it be burns? But the mice thing here too is another option here too.
Wow, that's
another part of it. Is we just gotta live with it. You know.
Yeah, it's just part of the lie. I mean, that's crazy. But wow, I didn't realize it all came down to that. So, can we talk removal now? And then I want to talk about product and how or why it works.
Yeah. And speaking of, when I say ticks suck, this is my license plate.
That's, you know, you got
me, ticks suck. T-I is for your listeners. It says T-I-C-S-U-C, ticks suck. And I just got my wife matching plates.
Oh.
Hers says ticks suck, but instead of a C at the end, it's got a K. So we got matching plates now.
I bet she's thrilled.
Yeah.
Only the Tick Terminator would do that, you know?
Because you're committed, man.
Tick in the shape of a hand grenade. Yeah, I speak around the country, you know, a lot of different places for a lot of power companies where they have outdoor workers.
Yeah.
Well, it's a concern, man. If you're out there all day, you need something. You need to be conscious of it.
Yeah.
Like, you get Lyme disease or one of these other, God forbid, a red meat allergy as a hunter. That's,
yeah, I know.
That collapses most of our diet.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
You take red meat out, we got beer and fried stuff.
Not salads. I know that.
yeah. We'd have to change our diet, right? We're not trying to change our diet.
I guess I'm eating chicken all the time.
So let's talk about, if you get bit, what's like the process for removal?
Okay. Here I have my pet tick here. This is an adult tick. That's a deer tick. You can see the different coloration here.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say it's stuck on you right there. Okay. The head is in your body, you know, right now. Okay.
Yep.
What you want to do when you remove a tick is you want to be nice to it. Okay. You don't want to tick off a tick in the removal process. All right. Once you get it off, I don't care if you shoot it with a 30-06 or a broadhead or whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Dynamite. But take it off nicely, because you really don't want to grab it by the body, which we have all done.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to grab it at the very base. And there's a couple of actually good products, and I have nothing to do with these. I'm just saying that they're good. One of them here is grabbing at the base here. It's called Tick Ease. It's a fine tip tweezers, which you would grab at the very bottom right here. Okay.
Yep.
And so you're right above the skin and pull it straight up. You don't want to grab the body. Or else you could also use this little device called a tick key, where you put the tick goes right in a hole right there and you slide it off. But this right here, the fine tip tweezers, is the best thing to use. Grab it right at the very base and then pull it up.
Okay.
Okay. and then monitor that bite. Make sure it doesn't have a bad reaction. You may want to keep that tick. On my website, theticterminator.com, there's actually some place where you can send them in if you really wanted to find out what diseases does it have.
Oh, wow.
Not everybody does that, but you can if you want to.
Good to have that option if you need. I'm still crawling and itching a little bit. This is hilarious.
There's a lot of companies that have outdoor workers, for example, power companies. I work with a lot of them. To them, a lot of times it's a recordable if somebody gets bit, especially on the job, you know, that they have to make a note of that. So, being gentle when you take it off, the sooner you take it off, the better. Daily tick checks are very important. So that's to keep that in mind. Does that kind of make sense to you now?
Yeah.
It definitely does. Can a tick really live if you rip it off and the head stays there?
I don't think it's going to live very long.
Okay.
Because you kind of tore it apart doing that.
Yeah.
Even if you had a little bit of the head stuck in your skin, just wash it off, soap and water, or rubbing alcohol, whatever. Your body will, you know, God made our body so it can, you know, just extrude that, you know, puke that out of your skin there in a couple days.
So I think we've all been there, and we've tortured some ticks back in the day. And
well, our buddy,
they survived pretty well.
Ross had a bite last turkey season. That was concerning.
I took that one out. It was pretty bad.
And I think he actually ended up going and got a probiotic.
He did.
I think he did. After antibiotic. About two. That's what I mean. An antibiotic.
He had the bullseye on there. Pretty big one.
Okay. And you got doxycycline for it or some kind of antibiotic?
It got treated.
Yeah. He went to a doctor and got treated.
Like, but I think he waited 2-3 days before he went.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. You don't want to wait 2 or 3 months.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. Okay.
A couple days or a week. It's going to be fine. Yeah, you're still in that. But
so let's talk about like prevention. You know, like what steps can hunters take? Like what products are out there? What's your breakdown? Your number one recommended product? Why? Or what other options? Or what could you buy at a sporting goods store just right here, right now? Right after listening, until they get in and order some product from you, like something that temporary to just use in the meantime if they're paranoid or whatever.
Permethrin.
Okay.
Permethrin is without question the best product that you can possibly get for as a tick repellent. But let me explain how permethrin works versus how DEET works. Okay.
Okay.
We all know DEET. It comes in lots of forms of off and just straight DEET and whatever. The way DEET works is it was created in 1945 for the military. The scent, the aroma, the smell of it is what a mosquito or some little fly is going to notice. Their little antennas in their head sense that smell when it's on you, okay? And it tricks their brain, their skinny little worthless brain, and says, hey, man, there's no blood there, so then they fly off, okay? That's how DEET works. Now, the difference between DEET at 25% and 100% is it's not any stronger than 100%. It just may last a little longer on you.
Oh, okay?
That's a myth people don't understand. 25%. DEET is usually plenty adequate, and sometimes the higher percentage may be a little harder sometimes on some plastics if you sprayed it on some things. So 25-30% normally is plenty adequate for most needs, and some of it will last for up to 10-12 hours sometimes, whatever it says on there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the difference. So that's how DEET works.
The way
permethrin works is totally different. Permethrin works, it's sprayed on the clothes. All right, like I gave you there. And it binds to the fabric of the clothes. So it's very unique. DEET has a daily application, or you got to keep repeating it, you know, every whatever it is, 8-10 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But permethrin binds to the fabric of the clothes and actually stays there. You're already scratching from ticks there, right?
I just, you know,
I'm feeling a little itchy.
There's something on me for sure.
So, anyways, it binds to the fabric. And then it even stays there through several washings, depending on what type you have. The over-the-counter, most of it is going to be, let's say they could get at, let's say Walmart, for example, today, you could get some that's good for 6 weeks and 6 washes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which works great. It's a great product. Sometimes you get it in a little aerosol can, and it's only good for 2 weeks, okay? But that's how it works. It's called a contact repellent. Here's how it works. It's sprayed on the clothes. It's best to let it dry at least a couple hours, or I say best overnight. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I have a lot of linemen that will get off the truck, spray down right there on the spot before they walk through the grass. It'll work wet as well as it works dry. It's just more convenient when it's dry, because for hunters, it's odorless.
Perfect.
Which is key for you guys. I'm a hunter myself. I don't bow hunt, but I rifle hunt, you know, every year. Mm-hmm. November 15th is our national holiday in the UP, I think.
Right. Never miss hunting. It doesn't surprise me in the UP.
Yeah.
So odorless, but anyways, that's big. That's big.
So anyways, the ticks get on us approximately around your shins, your ankles, and they start crawling up, all right? And they notice it because it affects our nervous system. It drives our nervous system nuts. Every step they take, it's driving them crazy, all right? If a tick is on clothes, they say for about a minute or a little longer, a lot of times it will kill them, or they'll fall off because they can't stand it any longer. That way, because at the end of the day, you can have a lot less ticks on you if all your clothes are treated.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how that works. I had a black fly land on my thigh a couple years ago, and it was pretty cool. I mean, to me, it was just sheer entertainment, you know, because of course my jeans were treated with permethrin, and this black fly is dancing. They call it the hot feet syndrome. It's like on his tiptoes, wondering if it could have talked and say, "What the heck did I just land on here, man? This stuff is driving me crazy."
Right.
It would eventually flew off. Now a mosquito would react the same way, but they don't smell it. They don't notice it until they come in contact with it. Okay.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Keep that's the difference. The contact repellent and the scent of repellent. So right. If you had, so the best 1-2 punch is permethrin on your shoe, socks, pants, shirts, and, you know, like a baseball cap, like you guys have.
Yeah.
And then DEET on your skin. That's the best PPE you can possibly do.
No kidding.
You got it all right there.
So you're man, that's it's cool that you broke down how it works, because I always wondered that. You always hear you hear those things, you know, and so I always wondered how it actually worked and repelled. So yeah, I guess if you doubled down, if you're worried, especially right now with everything in the woods, it's a miserable time to be outside in the timber.
Yeah.
Good to know. Great information. I think there's a lot to learn from this podcast. We've never covered these topics in the detail that you're going in. Because Lyme disease is scary. Ticks are just scary. They're creepy crawly. Like I feel like Midwest hunters are always worried about ticks.
I hate them.
Everybody does. Them. Yeah. Everyone should hate them.
Little turds.
Yeah. You need to respect them. You need to check for them, because you know, it only takes one tick to really mess things up.
I think that's the most scariest fact I've heard so far, is 1,000 to 5,000 babies for one tick.
It makes me want to get one of them crop duster airplanes and have it full of permethrin and just pay them to just smoke out my property with permethrin.
Yeah. This is an atom bomb of permethrin.
That's what we need.
There is some company that does that for like camps, you know, where kids go to camp for a week or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. Because you like spray your yard, don't you?
Well, I spray my yard for mosquito. Well, I haven't done it this year, but I can't remember what I bought. It's like a white milky thing that you mix in with water. I don't know what it was. It works really good for like 4 days. So if you're going to have an event, I'll spray and it almost like wipes out everything or just keeps everything out of the grass. But I can't remember what it is. It's a little bottle. I don't know, a few inches tall, a couple inches wide, and it's expensive. It's like $50
for a little. Does it keep ticks away too, though?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure. I did it for mosquitoes.
Yeah. But if you're around your yard, if you're keeping your grass short, they like leaf litter. Okay. A wood pile. They need moisture to survive. They're not going to be out in the middle of a pavement. So let's say if you got a swing set for kids, that's better to have that in the sunlight than in the shade, because ticks are going to be more in the shaded areas. Think about that. I mean, sometimes, I mean, on my website, I even have stuff there that if you put like a barrier around your yard of like wood chips or gravel or something like that, 3 foot all the way around your yard, that's going to make it a lot harder for ticks to walk over that stuff. I mean, that's cumbersome, really hard for them, you know? And then the less deer you have in there, the less wildlife you have in your yard, the less ticks you're going to probably have too, because they may drop off when they, you know, when they ride on their host coming through.
That's a good point. It's, man, all this stuff is scary. It's like, it's scary to think about, but it's like, you know, I'm lucky. I don't have a couple hunting properties where I've found a lot of ticks on me. And then I notice other properties. It's like guaranteed when I walk through here to check this trail camera and come back, I'm going to have six ticks on me.
Yeah.
Like every property is different. I feel like Iowa is worse than Illinois for ticks. It seems like you guys are always talking about ticks more than we talk about here in Illinois.
I've got them a lot, quite a bit.
Chandler's more. Iowa farm. He said it's thick, like a problem.
Yeah. It's pretty wild.
So it's just kind of crazy. I wonder like what the density, like what makes up the density, just habitat for a certain farm.
Yeah. Yeah. They got to have some kind of a habitat. I mean, moisture is important to them. Because here's the thing, speaking of moisture and heat, let's say you're out in the woods and you came back home and you had clothes that were not treated with permethrin, let's say, for example. And so you may have a tick on you. If you find one tick on you, chances are there's probably another one that you didn't notice yet. So here's a little trick. What you do is you take those clothes and you put them in the dryer, not the washer, in the dryer on high for about 15 minutes. That dry heat will kill all those ticks, and then you can wash them.
Right? Oh, okay. I got you. Good tip.
That's a great tip.
On my website, I've written a couple bulletins that I use, because I work a lot with safety directors at different electrical co-ops around the country. So I'm basically training the trainers, okay, so they can help keep their people safe out there. And right on my website, we're in the first page, they can download each of these little bulletins. They're like 3 or 4 pages each. What I did was I condensed a whole bunch of information and put it in the 3 or 4 pages so people could just look at what's the good stuff here. You know, I don't want to, I did all the research on them, you know, so save you all the time. One of them, the first one I did a year and a half ago is called the Tick Prevention Safety Guide. And this year I came out with one called the Hidden Cost of Lyme Disease. So I gave those out to safety directors so they could learn more about these, so they could, when they, when they do their tick talk to the guys,
I like that.
They got some good information to give them. And what a lot of stuff I mentioned is on that, what I talked about.
It's funny you said TikTok. Our buddy Joe, we talked to him before the podcast. I told him what podcast we're about to do. He's like, oh, you got to call that one TikTok. And I'm like, yep, that's funny. I like that. Yep. You're doing a lot of good, man, for hunters and people that work outdoors. I know you probably realize like the magnitude from this podcast. There's a lot of people with kids that go out that think about this stuff that are not like simple camping precautions, like how to treat it, how to prevent it. And then if you find a tick, the dryer method, that's a golden piece of information right there.
It is. It's really cool to know that. Have you guys ever heard of Tom Nelson with American Archer?
Yeah.
I met him. I was doing I do numerous outdoor shows, radio shows, and this was a Michigan one because he's from Lower Michigan.
Yeah.
And him and I were on this same show, you know, a segment away from each other, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And later on, he contacted me, and he said, I need to get some of this permethrin stuff you're talking about. So I sent him down a sample, and I got to play this video that he did. It's just phenomenal for you. Okay. I'm going to start it here. This was this past spring. He said, Brian, I'm going to Canada hunting, and I want to try this stuff and see what it's like. And I said, sure. So I sent him down a sample, and here's the video. I'm going to see if I can play it.
Okay.
We'll see
If it doesn't play, like if it doesn't translate well, you can just send it to me and I can overlay it.
Okay. I wonder if it's going to work on my.
Hi, I'm Tom Nelson.
Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm here today to talk about a pest, ticks. If you're like me, you hate ticks. I do. I'd rather have a dozen leeches on me.
Oh, locked your phone.
Hang on a second.
That guy's got like, he's such a like a classic.
Great mustache
in the hunting industry. That is a great. You should. Yeah, you should be very. That's a mustache.
It's like what you aim for.
That's what you aim for in a good mustache.
Talk about a pest, ticks. If you're like me, you hate ticks. I do. I'd rather have a dozen leeches on me than one tick. And on a recent hunt in Canada for bear in the springtime, we were at a heavily infested area. There were six other hunters with me. At the end of the week, I was the only hunter that hadn't had a tick on him. Oftentimes in the evening, hunters were picking several ticks off of them. Me, zero. What did I do different? I utilized the tick terminator spray before I went out. I treated all my clothing with them, my camo clothes, my blue jeans. Never had a tick even crawling on me. So if you live in a tick-infested area, hunting in a tick-infested area, think about utilizing the tick terminator. The tick terminator keeps you tickless.
It's a pretty good endorsement there for, and he's testing it where bugs are thick too.
So, yeah, I know.
Big ticks.
Yeah.
He did that all completely on his own. That's awesome. Totally unsolicited.
Well, it's easy to do when you think something works and you believe in it, which, I mean, heck, when you come back like that with those results, you got to believe in something. Like
that.
So I was pretty proud of that then. I figured you guys being bow hunters, I figured
it applies well to us and our listener base. And I really appreciate you taking the time to share all this info. Yeah,
just their families too. Like just cause you know, we do everything outdoors now. So
yeah. Fishing right now, especially that's where probably most people fishing, shooting archery out and about. Give some of your information out. If someone wants to get some of this prevention products and get all the information from your website, I guess, or wherever else I can find you on social.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I'm pretty much on my website there. And if the product that I gave you the sample on it's right on that front page there. It's permethrin. What's unique about it is permethrin comes in a couple different forms. I'll back up here and say permethrin was actually created in 1973. Basically, permethrin is a synthetic version of pyrethrum, which is a naturally occurring insect repellent that's found in a chrysanthemum flower. But in 73, they made it usable because with Americans, we want something that's cheap and easy and easy to use, you know, and readily available. So they created four different options for it. One is for farmers to put on their cattle. One's for farmers to put on their crops to keep bugs off. Another one is for doctors to use for lice and scabies. And the fourth version, these are all different mixtures. The fourth version is is a sample that we're talking about for our clothes.
Okay? Yeah.
So that's what we use. Anyways, it actually comes in two different forms, already pre-mixed, like you can buy at Walmart. Mm-hmm. And the company I work with, I'm the only one in this company that works with outdoor workers and outdoor enthusiasts like you guys, hunters and fishermen, stuff like that. And what's unique about it is it's the only one that actually you decide how long it's going to last because it's a concentrate. Mm-hmm. They can mix it up to last for 3 weeks, mix it up to last for 6 weeks, 9 weeks, 12 weeks. 24 weeks, and they decide how long it is. Just mix it right in a bottle. Well, I'm not going to show it because this is for audio, but that's how it is. And when they have that mixture kind, the concentrate, it's basically 50% cost what it's going to cost them to buy from Walmart.
Right.
Because they'd have to buy $80 worth to get what they can get from this for like, you know, 45 or whatever it is.
What's awesome about it is like the majority of hunting is like for us bow hunting in our area is like late October through mid November. And you could basically be treated that whole time
with
one treatment.
Yeah.
But then you got to think about in the summertime when you're out there scouting too.
Yeah, true.
Then you're out there checking your trail cams.
Right. Yeah. Right now we're setting them right now. We're doing food plot work, like all that stuff.
You probably have one. You probably do have a tick.
I bet you have a tick on me.
I better check you
right now. I'm feeling it. You don't do that to me. Don't.
Bend over.
After this.
Yeah. So I mean,
not in front of
it. But you guys, it's not just a fall. It's part of your life. So it's
year round.
You know, so yeah, it's practically year round. So they need to have it, you know, for their, I mean, like my deer hunting clothes. I mean, for your clothes in the fall, you probably use the same clothes every day all the time for the fall. You're not gonna wash them.
Exactly.
Possibly have a scent on them, or unless you use scent lock or something like that.
Yeah.
But anyways, you're exactly right.
It gives you that peace of mind when you go out there. Yeah. So Man, great info. Absolutely. I've learned a lot on this podcast. It's very interesting. It's the most creepy crawly feeling I've ever felt during a podcast. So thank you for that. We hold that title. We've done a lot of them, and this is the first time I've itched the whole time, just off the conversation, which is hilarious. I'm going to drive myself nuts going back and looking at the video of this podcast, because I feel like the whole time I'm like doing this. I still feel itchy.
Pretty good.
Okay, well, thanks. Probably, I bet you talk to a lot of people that get fidgety, huh?
Yeah. Well, I do presentations, and towards the end when we do some Q&A, and the guy says, man, I'm starting to go like this, just like you are, Kurt, you know, just, you know, you can't help it. So I'm used to hearing that.
Well, I'm going to be thinking about ticks every time I'm in the woods now, and then I'll think of you. So I'm going to think of you a lot. And so just know that you're going to change. You've actually changed the way I think about ticks a little bit, knowing the life cycle and prevention and the dryer prevention method even too. It all matters. It's all good information.
Great information.
Using permethrin, that's the best defense we have out there. Here's a good example, okay? A couple of years ago, this local cable company wanted to try the stuff, and so they did. They had two guys working next to each other all day long, climbing poles, you know, doing cabling and stuff like that. At the end of the day, they counted ticks. One guy had 30 of them on him. The other guy had 3, okay? So the guy that had 3 obviously had to treat it close. And my thought is, I'd rather attack my chances with three than with 30.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
We don't live in a perfect world, you know. Sometimes they still may get in there. I mean, turkey hunters, you know, bow hunters, they're all out in the woods. They all need to be protecting themselves.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is. Now, when you're ready to close, let me know. I got a poem about ticks too.
Oh, well, let's hear it. Let's hear this poem. You got it all.
I had a question before we get to the poem. Is there any other diseases that ticks can carry other than, was it Lyme disease? And what's the other one?
The other one was, I wrote it down. AGS.
Alpha-gal syndrome. That's the one where you get allergic to red meat. Yeah there are other diseases like babesiosis, ehrlichiosis, tularemia, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, Powassan virus. There's some other nasty ones out there.
I was gonna tell you not to ask that.
Well,
ignorance is bliss, Doug.
So just kind of think of every tick as bad.
Yeah.
Not every bite is gonna be bad, but if you have a bad reaction to a bite, you know, that's when you need to do something about it. You don't want to.
How do you not feel them bite you? Because they're bigger than mosquito. How do you not feel a bite?
How do you not feel a bite?
Yeah. Feel a bite from
because God gave them a special little saliva that they spit on you before they inject their stuff in there, so it's painless for you.
Like they numb it?
Yeah. They kind of numb your skin. And then in the wintertime...
I don't think God gave them that saliva. I think the devil.
He also, for the wintertime, he also gave them some little enzyme in their body that kind of acts like antifreeze so they don't freeze to death, because they don't freeze to death in the wintertime.
I don't like it. So, ticks can just go away. That's I don't like that. I'm feeling itchy. Well,
it's pretty bad.
It's good to know next time there's a, like, you know, there's that hearsay conversation like there always is in deer camp about ticks, I'll know just a touch more than the next guy, unless he like works for you or something.
It's him.
So let's hear this tick poem.
It goes like this. I hate them little suckers. I want to terminate them all. So I do with permethrin and love to watch them fall. From head to toe, I spray this stuff. My shoes, socks, clothes, and hats, because it works on more than ticks, like skeeters, chiggers, and even gnats. So I ask you, if you're listening, to keep away from Lyme, get started with permethrin, and now is the perfect time. Thank you.
I love it. I love it.
The only poem you ever heard about ticks, I suppose.
It is, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful.
I'm going to make one more R-rated.
Yeah, you can do that on the other series. But thank you so much, man. Great information. I think our listeners are going to learn a lot from this. I know I did.
Yeah.
I think about it differently now already. I feel like I need to go take a shower or something. I feel itchy.
The shower actually help?
Yeah. I mean, because if the tick is not attached to you yet, a shell is going to help, you know, if they're just walking around, you're looking around, oh, where can I suck his blood?
Yeah.
You're going to knock him off, you know?
Good question, Doug.
So if you didn't get him in your tick check, that may get him right there too. So, yeah.
And the dryer method. That's my favorite.
I like the dryer. Yeah.
Just an extra dose of security.
Just toss them in there when you're done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much. One more time. Any social media accounts or anything where people can find you?
I'm on Facebook, but I don't do much with Facebook. I'm kind of old school, I guess. And my website has a lot of good information on it.
Yeah. That's all you need. I'll link that in the description of the episode. So people want to go on there, they can just click that and then go right to it.
Sure. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys. It's been a blast.
Yeah, no problem. Always.
Of course. Thanks for being here. Doug, you got anything to add?
I hate ticks.
I hate ticks. All right.
Me too.
Mine is go shoot your bow and keep the ticks off you. Good luck out there and stay safe. No Lyme disease. Listen to that poem again. Thanks, guys.
On Mondays, head offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep-sea adventures.
Coming to me.
Double. He's jumping.
Oh!
Look at that belly.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.